This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Leaders across the country have been scrambling to deal with all the challenges of 2020, perhaps most especially the pandemic. The mayor of East Lansing is in the same boat as everyone else, except for the fact that he never ran to be mayor. Did we mention he's 24? Aaron Stevens is the mayor of East Lansing, and he joins us now. Aaron, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
We need to explain how you came into public office in the first place, pre-COVID, pre-everything. Would you recap the reasons that brought you into public service for anybody who maybe wasn't following your first campaign?
Sure. So my mom and dad probably will attest to this, but I've always been a talker. And hopefully they can attest to the fact that I've always wanted to help people. From a very early age, I found myself like volunteering, just doing community work in general, not really having a full track on how I could be helpful within my community. But when I moved to East Lansing, became an MSU student, I got a lot more involved in the political scene here, ended up joining a city commission. And myself and a really great guy who happened to be the vice president of government affairs for the student government. And I were having a conversation after I was working on the Bernie campaign, and I ended up getting a good amount of attention just because we brought him to the campus and to Michigan. And he said, hey, there's never been a student on the city council, at least, you know, in the near history. Have you ever considered running? And I kind of said, well, I maybe was going to consider running for office at some point in my life. Definitely not this soon. But after talking a little bit more, we kind of decided, okay, we have a city that is a pretty big population of young people, and they don't currently have a voice on their local elected body. So I knew how to run a campaign. I had been doing it for a little bit here, and I said, let's try it. So I announced very, very early and got to knocking doors, and I knocked through our neighborhoods and our city probably three or four times. And we ended up winning, and I became the youngest person ever to win a seat in East Lansing.
So what in other times might have been a lovely feel-good story about a young person getting involved in state government suddenly became 2020. And there were a number of upheavals, you know, the pandemic certainly, Black Lives Matter, but also city council in East Lansing went through some upheaval. And in July, former Mayor Ruth Beyer and council member Mark Meadows both resigned in this dust-up over the city attorney's contract. So that, I understand, is the procedural move that puts you in the mayor's seat?
Yes. So as you said before, I definitely did not run for this position. I'm not running for re-election either. Really, I wanted to serve my community and then, you know, leave the seat for somebody else who wanted to serve in the same capacity. I am not opposed to career politicians at all, but I am a person that believes if you are needed at the time, then that's great. But if you're not needed after that, then, you know, put your ego aside and let somebody else lead. And I think that's more than fine. So, you know, I wasn't really planning on running for re-election. I definitely was not planning on being mayor. But what then occurred, I think my face from that meeting, because it's a Zoom meeting, of course, with everything going on, definitely was sent to me in screenshots, making fun of the shock on my face, which I found funny, let's say a month later. But yes, it was not a position that I was running for, certainly, but it is a position I found myself in, and I'm proud to serve the city of East Lansing. I'm going to do the job to the best of my ability, even if I didn't run for it.
What was going through your mind at that moment in the council meeting?
You know, I remember the moment that the city manager kind of looked at me and said, Mayor Stevens, it's your meeting. And I just froze for a second. And I think I actually said, oh, don't say that, you know, just because I am a fairly candid person. And, you know, I just when I heard that phrase, I was like, oh, no, this is very real. This is exactly what happened. And so, of course, that happening, you know, the work didn't stop, right? I didn't get a chance to just deal with it and process it. We had to find new members for the city council. We had to deal with what is a global movement for civil rights and continuing the work that's happening in East Lansing right now on that, as well as a pandemic. And so when I say I had a meeting at 8 a.m. the next day with MSU officials to talk about pandemic response, that's the truth. And I was just the mayor at that time. The only difference was the title at that point. The work was the same. So we just really had to keep going. And I don't think it actually really hit me until probably 2 or 3 weeks later as I was driving down, 127 in East Lansing. And I just kind of hit me, oh, wow, I am actually the mayor of the city right now.
The office of mayor has different meanings in different cities. What are the responsibilities and powers in East Lansing?
So the mayor's seat really isn't that much different from an individual council member. Truthfully, the way that I've always seen the mayor's position and the way that I've always pushed people that are in the mayor's position is that really you should be one of the same, that we're all elected to the same position of city council. And so if you are the mayor, you just happen to be the one facilitating the meeting, not necessarily the one that's in charge of the meeting. The other approach that I think is important for the mayor's seat, that's not necessarily a written rule, but I think it is just kind of a practical rule, is that you really help guide along other council members to make sure that they can get done what they want to get done. So the conversation that I had with the new council members and even the older ones was, I'm here to be your advocate, right? Maybe I won't agree on you with an issue, but I will guarantee it gets on an agenda because you got elected to the same position that I did. So we all have an equal voice in this and we all have one vote in this, and I shouldn't be the determining factor in, you know, whether or not something goes forward. So although I will say being mayor during a pandemic does have a different connotation to it. It tends to be the more symbolic position ends up being a little bit more practically the position that is in the room in meetings and bringing those issues to the rest of the council, because I am, quote, that symbolic leader of the council. So it has taken on, I think, a little bit of a new role. But in general, it's not something that's you know, somewhat different than an individual council member.
Yeah. You are in this position at a time when there's a fair amount of appetite in this country for new leadership and often young leadership. We've seen that in the U.S. Congress. We saw that in some of the earlier stages of the presidential primary season. Do you have a different perspective on both what it means to be a young leader and what some of the challenges are after having gone through this?
Sure. Young people should be in office. Young people can do this. Anybody that goes into office, no matter what your age is, and say, I have all the answers, they're lying. Because the truth is that when you're in public office, you deal with so many different issues with so much complexity that when you get into public office, the truth is that your most valuable asset is not necessarily even your own experience. It is your willingness to listen and your willingness to learn. So no matter what your age is, if you have that quality, then you're going to be effective at the role. And I would say that my generation especially is willing to listen and is willing to learn. And I also think that, you know, our generation has to step up and take leadership roles because it's our future. We have to take hold of that. We have to make sure that we are creating the future that we want to see, or at least a future for our kids that we want to see. And the God honest truth is, when people used to say things like, it's not your time or you should wait your turn, I always thought that those were things that, you know, were just said as general statements. I never really thought that they were said directly to candidates until I ran for office and I heard them very directly. And the truth is that young people shouldn't wait their turn. It is your turn because it's your future.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Aaron Stevens. At 24, he's one of the state's youngest city leaders. He's the mayor of East Lansing. Tell me something that you've learned about public health in 2020 during the pandemic that maybe Aaron Stevens, who was running for council a couple of years ago, did not know.
The thing that I have learned that honestly is one of the most sobering thoughts, truthfully, is that if everybody's not on board, we're not going to slow this spread. And that's the unfortunate fact, because at the end of the day, if you put a rule in place to help protect people in your city, the majority of people are going to follow it. And the majority of people in my city and many other cities do. The problem is, if you have that 1% of the population that has decided that it's not a priority for them to keep their communities safe, we're still going to see continued issues. And it's not only going to affect that 1%, it's going to affect the 99% as well. It's going to affect our businesses and so many other people. I was actually just on the phone with a business owner in East Lansing. We were talking about the perception, right? The perception that is killing them right now, because we had a business in East Lansing that was associated with cases. And so the perception for a completely separate business that East Lansing is a place where there are cases is a really hard thing for them to deal with, because even though they're doing the right thing, they're still getting the punishment for something that happened that was not the right thing that happened. Right. And so mm-hmm. It's hard. because so many people are making so many sacrifices and they're still seeing the bad results from it. They're still having to stay at home. They're still not doing in-person classes. They're still not being able to go to work, see their friends, see their family. There's so many things that have affected so many people that are doing the right thing. And I wish that we were in a situation where if you did the right thing, you'd have all the benefits for doing that right thing. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And that is something that has really been weighing on me, especially as a public leader, because I know that there are people in my community that are suffering currently and that are going to suffer because of this public health crisis due to no fault of their own. And that is just something that is really difficult to deal with, honestly.
That's a really grim thought. I mean, has it changed the way that you know, sort of the way that you think about what the city can do and what the city should do to recognize that if even 1% of the population isn't interested in cooperating, then it's just going to be really hard, maybe even impossible to stay on top of this.
It is a conversation that kind of always happens, right? We do education, we do outreach, we do, punitive measures as well. We have fines in place. We have, rules in place that we are enforcing, but we can't be everywhere at once too. And, the thing that I always say is when you have there's a party of 150 people, right? If we don't know about that party for, let's say, 20 minutes, And that's being conservative, right? Let's say we find out about the party within 20 minutes. That spread has already happened at that point. So we take, we'll take enforcement action and we'll make sure to break up the party at that point and inform people that, this is a public health violation, but that spread has already occurred. And so it's kind of like putting out the fires as they're happening. And you can do the preventative work beforehand of educating. But if there are people that don't want to listen to that education, unfortunately, we're not going to get through to them until something not so great happens. And the God honest truth is our community is coming together on this issue. I mean, whether it's seniors, whether it's businesses, whether it's students that are doing the right thing, everybody's on the same page except for this small minority of people. And so it's just about how to reach those people and make them understand that this isn't about them. This isn't about, the individual. This is about the community at large.
Have you run into perceptions of that people may have of you as as the 24-year-old mayor of East Lansing, that, maybe some folks who don't think enforcement should be as strict in terms of social gatherings saying, hey, this guy is one of us, maybe assuming that you're going to have a stance that will be more lenient or at least more agreeable to their position where you've had to toe the line a bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's difficult for me as a, just on a personal level, because I think that people have the expectation that I'm going to be more lenient, which is true. I think that education is the most powerful tool, but we also need to be responsive to those that are, refusing to, follow those public health orders and really are putting in danger the rest of the community. And so it's kind of difficult because I was in their position just 2 years ago. So I really do get it. It's not like I'm sitting here, several years out of college saying, oh, these dang kids are partying. I understand it. It's not something that I wasn't expecting as we were going into the school year. It's just about trying to maintain the right rules. And so perfect example of that I'll give is, we have a 25 outdoor rule. And if you have something like 10 person gathering in a front lawn, and they're not wearing masks and they might be like huddled around a beer pong table or something, that's not necessarily safe because they're, of course, not wearing masks. There are people that probably don't live in the same household. But at the same time, it's a heck of a lot better than them all going to a 500 person party. So that's still going to slow the spread to a degree. And we're doing it day by day and we're trying to be reactive and we're trying to be understanding while also making sure that people understand that just being, educational about an issue where people are going to actually have real world consequences for this, whether it's through their health or through their, their livelihood, is a difficult balance to make.
Yeah. COVID's obviously one of the biggest concerns the city's got right now, but what are some other issues that you're passionate about?
I have a few different passions, I think, that I even ran for. Housing issues in the city have always been a big thing for me. Making sure that tenants, especially younger people that sign leases early, understand their rights and know what they are allowed to ask and what they aren't. making sure that folks actually have access to, you know, the correct education on those matters. Definitely actual participation in the civic process. I think that's part of the reason why I ran, is because I do think more young people, like, you don't just need to run for office to be involved. You can just attend a city council meeting, right? You can go to your local government and say, I would like to see this. And I'm actually really proud to say that there are a lot more young people doing that now. And especially within my city, I hope that I seem a little bit more approachable to somebody that might be my age and is thinking in their head, well, maybe I don't have the expertise to speak on this issue. But the truth is, you do. If you feel passionate about an issue, you should bring it up. And so I think that that's something that is very, very important. And, you know, in general, I think that equity within our community is really, really vital, not only now, but just in general. Human rights are vital in a city. We need to make sure that everybody is comfortable being here, existing here. You should have the right to exist and be yourself. And if we don't at least do that bottom line, as a city, as a community, then we're doing something wrong.
You know, East Lansing has a long and sometimes complicated history with Lansing. Historically, it's been hard for both towns to get on the same page and to act on issues of mutual interest. Something like how to turn Michigan Avenue, which runs from the heart of one city right through the heart of the other, to turn Michigan Ave into a sustainable commercial and cultural corridor. Do you have a different perspective now on what might move that relationship forward?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of openness. I think that, you know, whether it was previous politics or previous attitudes or not, we really need to be looking at things through whether it's a regional approach or just a community approach, that, you know, what's going to benefit Lansing is also going to benefit East Lansing. What's going to benefit East Lansing is going to benefit you know, Clinton County, right? It's just, it's not a, the lines that we draw as cities are not the lines that the community draws as people. So I think that, you know, through working, and I give it a testament to one of my incredible mentors, Sarah Anthony, who happens to be the state representative for Lansing, is just constantly having these conversations of how can we partner? How can we do more to benefit more people? And, you know, that comes into play, whether it's tax increment financing or development, or it just comes into play in COVID response. Right. I think the one silver lining about this, and I say that knowing the full weight of how much this has affected people, but the one silver lining of this crisis has been the communication with MSU and the communication with Lansing and different jurisdictions to make sure we're responding in an effective way has been incredible. Actually, you touched on what was one of my goals when I was running for office earlier. One of my biggest goals was connecting and bridging the gap between the university and the city itself. And I will say that over this crisis, we have been in meetings every week, every almost every day sometimes, talking about different ways to respond. And that results not only in solutions for the COVID crisis, but also solutions long term within city relations overall. And I think that that's a benefit because, again, we're all in this together. If one succeeds, then the other will. If one fails, then the other will as well. And that's the approach that I like to take.
Aaron Stevens is the mayor of East Lansing. Mr. Mayor, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a good one.